When we find ourselves devoid of passion and purpose, the first thing we need to do is stop. But that's not easy. The rest of the world is zooming by at full speed, and left alone by ourselves without a project to occupy us, we can become nervous and self-critical about what we should be doing and feeling. This can be so uncomfortable that we look for any distraction rather than allowing ourselves the space to be as we are. And this week's opening quote comes from Dawna Markova. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. You know, when we look at the world and we look at the problems of the world, very often we look for remedies to these problems somewhere in the past. And even when looking at the global situation, even investigating where we are and how we got here, often when we're in search of self-discovery, again, we look to the old philosophers, we look for what people have written down in books, and we look to the past. And the reality is that there will be no solutions to our current dilemma that will be found in the past, because humankind is now entering uncharted waters, uncharted territory, and really it's been that way ever since the inception of life. And one of our problems has been that when we are confronted with new problems or new situations, we always rummage around in the past looking for a remedy rather than simply using it as an opportunity for a new form of self-expression. And you can't blame us for thinking this way, because we've been trained to think this way over a very long period of time. So the real problem is that we've been trained to, when confronted with a problem, to look in the wrong direction and always base our lives on past data, but we shouldn't be looking at things this way, because every day brings a new beginning and a new opportunity, and each day brings something more than what was available the day before. It's just that very often we are stuck in our emotions, and therefore we're stuck in the past. We're stuck in the past, or we're living our lives in anticipation for the future. There are very few people who actually live in the now and experience the world for what it is in that moment. They're always caught up in how they got here or where they're going, but rarely where they are. Now, when you look at this and you begin to realize that this is generally the way most people think, it becomes a little perplexing. You have to wonder why this is the overall state of human consciousness, broadly speaking. And you begin to see that it's a result of the education system. The education system always focuses on the past. Here are the old ways. Here's the way the smart people from the past told us we should do things. And so this is the way you need to do things now, and this is the way things need to stay. And when I say this, of course, I'm not saying that we are adhering to the old ways. Of course, we're doing anything but. But when we go to school, we're not developing new forms of self-expression ourselves as students. We are learning what was put there for us in the past to learn. So we are essentially learning the old ways as designated by the education system. So let me just clarify that point. Of course, there's a lot of stuff in there that we do need. I mean, it's important that we learn history so that we don't repeat history, but you'll find that history is actually one of the most neglected topics in the education system, when it should be one of the most prominent, simply so people know not to repeat past mistakes. That's really the main purpose of learning history. It isn't really a matter of the great importance of knowing how we got here, although it is interesting to find out how we got here. But the real issue, however, is not knowing how we got here, but just recognizing the fact that we are here and that we need to move forward from this point in a positive direction, and we don't want to be repeating past mistakes. And so we have to stop repeating and basing our life and our existence and our understanding of reality upon what is written down in books by those who came before us. We need to understand that all of the books that were written by the old philosophers and all of this data, this is simply one person sharing with you their perspective of how reality worked for them and the changes they were able to make to their lives, which led to their personal improvement, in the hope that you may find clues in there which will help you on your own path to self-discovery. But there's no good you taking that reality on as your own, and there's no good you really trying to find yourself in the words of others, even though sometimes these words may help. What we have to do is to realize that we are here to create, we are here to express ourselves, and we are here to reach the fullest of our potential through our own creative expression. And we need to remember to do that and stop basing our expression and our knowledge of what reality is on someone else's idea. We have to be free to rediscover ourselves so that we can express ourselves in every way possible. Because the only thing that is actually impossible is that which you believe is impossible. And we are trained to believe that a lot of things are impossible because we're trained to operate and believe reality works according to someone else's idea. And these are the ideas that we have learnt in books. And we've never really stepped back from that and been free to express ourselves from our own unique point in creation. I mean, there is a lot of good things in the education system, and there's a lot of skills that we need, but in amongst that is woven an insidious training mechanism by which people are conditioned to think in a certain way. And I believe that this has been done very, very purposely in order that consciousness in general does not form any new neural pathways and thereby locks us into the old system. Because you see, one of the huge things about this education system is that it's designed to prevent people from ever reaching their full potential unless they are part of a select few with certain skills that the oligarch who controls this world believe they can exploit. But there are very many skilled and talented people who simply don't make it in this society. Many of the people that you see that end up homeless and thrown on the trash heap are hugely intelligent and philosophical people who have major artistic skills that they could offer humanity, and they're discarded simply because they don't fit into the agenda of this system. Many deeply philosophical and artistic people, many humanitarians, simply are not able to function in this system. And this is because these are individuals who are well adjusted to life and therefore cannot be well adjusted to this system. And as said by Jiddu Krishnamurti, it is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. And that's what we have. And those who get discarded are generally people who have big ideas and simply cannot function within a corporate system. And so the system discards them by default simply because they are not able to fit in. Because this system doesn't want people that are going to be bringing in new ideas. They don't want any new neural pathways to be formed, and there's a very good reason for this. In fact, in saying that, I'm reminded of a quote by Albert Einstein, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the quote goes something along the lines of, a problem will never be solved using the same level of thinking that created the problem. And that is what this system is training us to do. It's training us to maintain the same level of thinking generally as an overall society as what we've always been. And it's designed to squash any independent thought and ensure that any ideas that come forth need large financial backing in order to make it to the ears of the general public. And of course, the only ideas that are going to get financial backing are the ideas that support the system or support the agenda of the oligarchs. Now, in considering the progression or evolution, if you like, of human consciousness, in as much as the more we learn, the more consciousness expands, the more reality is able to express itself. And in saying that the oligarchs have constructed an education system to constrain human consciousness whereby no new neural pathways are formed. In order to explain this and hopefully try to put it into terms that make it more easily understandable, imagine reality as being a computer. Just for demonstration purposes, imagine that we exist in a mainframe. And imagine that within this mainframe is an organic biological computer consisting of all the elements of the universe, including those which give life. The energy that powers this computer is the conscious stuff of reality itself. And imagine that this mainframe is self-forming, running programs of self-discovery and basically experimenting with creation to see what it can create, if indeed it can possibly even create another version of itself. Imagine the arena where the programs are run and where development takes place is the Earth. And imagine we are the tools by which this progress is happening. We are essentially the component parts running through the active RAM of this computer. And the thoughts that we have as living human beings, the ideas we have and the new philosophies and creations we create from these thoughts are the software which forms the new expressions and the new creations of self-expression. Okay, and you can just view this as a hypothetical, and I hope I didn't confuse things by putting it that way. Okay, so now imagine this is all going on, and consciousness periodically, as it's collected new data, upgrades itself. And when this upgrade takes place, the entire mainframe upgrades itself. So that when the upgrade happens, there's no way to maintain anything of the old system, because the upgrade is an entire mainframe upgrade. It's like going from a PC to a Mac, or from Windows to Linux, or whichever way you want to put it. It's like moving to an entirely new kernel, so there is no part of the old operating system that remains viable for the new upgrade. So imagine this is going on, and this is how consciousness upgrades itself or moves to the next level. This is how each shift takes place. It's all based on the data that we've been able to gain and the new expressions of creation that we've been able to create. But periodically during these upgrades, there are certain rogue elements that appear throughout the program. There are certain rogue programs, if you will, that arise to the surface and realize that there's an upgrade about to happen. And they realize that when this upgrade happens, none of the luxuries that they become accustomed to are going to exist anymore. None of the comfy little position and the puppeteering of humanity they are used to is going to exist anymore. None of the control mechanism that they have put in place, none of the way they have been using this system to serve their own purposes is going to go with them. And so they work to prevent this upgrade from taking place. And there are two main methods by which they accomplish this. One is to prevent the creation of any new neural pathways. And the other is to control the polarity of the energy we are feeding into the system. Because, of course, the system gets its information and its data from us through our expression. But our expression has been limited, it's been contained and curtailed, and we have been led to a point where now we are always searching through past data rather than forming new neural pathways, which may lead to the mainframe discovering itself and being able to perform the ultimate in self-expression. So if you look at reality and the progression of human consciousness using this model, you see that this is where we are at this particular point. And it's important to understand that this is ultimately a result of us constantly referring to old data that the computer has already collected, when what our job is supposed to be is to express ourselves to the fullest of our potential in order to create new neural pathways that will lead ultimately to self-realization for the entire mainframe. Okay, so in our hypothetical model, we have the universe structured as a computer powered by conscious energy, the component parts of which are the expressions of humankind within the system and the neural pathways that we create, all with the goal of leading ultimately to self-realization for the entire mainframe. Now also imagine that the energy that runs through this computer has two major polarities. There are lots of points that exist in between, but there are two major polarities, and these two polarities can be expressed by the energies of love and the energies of fear. if the energy of love is prevalent, running throughout the mainframe and throughout the program, the upgrading consciousness takes place. But if the energy running through the program is an energy of fear, then the upgrade cannot happen. Those who currently control the sandpit would very much like for this upgrade not to happen because, as I said, if the upgrade does happen, then everything they have created gets left behind. And so they are desperate to keep reality the way it is and to maintain the status quo. And the easiest way to do that is to get the entire planet angry, get them fighting with each other, and get them in fear, because they believe that by doing this, they will prevent the upgrade happening. But what if there is another option? What if the reality is that if the upgrade doesn't happen, the program simply ends and it begins again anew? And the mainframe, the computer that is the universe, begins its new attempt to gain the ultimate in self-expression and the ultimate understanding of itself. Now, for the purposes of our model, we can call this mainframe God or Yahweh or Allah or the Grand Architect or whatever we want to call it. It's irrelevant, but to view things from this perspective, I think, helps people understand a little bit how they are being controlled and why they are being controlled. Now, information that has come to me recently, conversations that I've had with certain people connected to certain shaman, conversations I've had from all sorts of areas, actually, some of them right out of left field. Everything has indicated to me that consciousness wants to shift. And if you look at the timeline, I would say that this shift has actually already begun and that it began in 2012. I think this is what the 2012 date was about. Many people look at that time and they think, well, it was a big disappointment. Nothing happened. In fact, we've seen the bottom kind of fall out of the so-called truth movement or the freedom movement or whatever you want to call it, because many people expected something grand to happen in 2012, and when the world just didn't suddenly change overnight, their little bubble was burst and they didn't really know where to go forward from that point, and many have been floundering ever since. But I don't think it was a non-event at all. I think it signified the beginning of a very, very special time for humanity, and I think that we're in that time now. And if you look at some of the ancient prophecies, if you talk to the Hopi, if you talk to Aboriginal shaman from this country, if you talk to all sorts of people, they tell you that right now we are living in the end times and we are living at the point where reality can go either way. Either we get out of this quagmire that we're in, or the program simply starts again. And this isn't to say, oh, look, we don't have to participate because reality is going to shift anyway. The program's going to begin again, so there's nothing I can really do. This is another savior that's coming to shift things for us without us participating. It's not like that, because you are participating simply by being alive. And if you don't participate, the program will go in the wrong direction. But if you do choose to participate, you can shift things very quickly and reach your ultimate potential. And if you don't, then for you, it isn't a matter of the program simply beginning again. It's a matter of you ceasing to exist in this current form. And if indeed your consciousness in the form that you know now has been created solely for this experiment, who's to say that your consciousness will even exist after this experiment is run, because it may not be needed. In the next experiment, it could take a completely different form, which is not to say that when you die here, you cease to exist, but your consciousness may simply return to source and cease to be able to be differentiated from any other forms of consciousness. So therefore, the choice as to whether your very existence is going to continue lies solely in your own hands. And this decision is measured by your degree of participation in this experiment. Or who knows, perhaps each frequency of consciousness simply gets recycled time and time again to try to get it right this time. I mean, it would certainly explain what deja vu is all about, wouldn't it? And thinking about it that way, the program starting again, really would explain a lot of things. And is it a possibility that this may even be a reality? Well, could it be that this experiment has been running for a while and many versions of it have been attempted so far, with each previous attempt having failed, which is why we find the remnants of so many past civilizations and strange life forms on this planet, because the program has run so many times, but each time an anomaly has developed in the system, so the program has terminated, only to then begin anew. As I said, it would certainly explain things like déjà vu. Hey, it's a pretty out there thought, but it would certainly explain a lot of things, and hey, I'm just philosophizing here anyway, and I think that looking at the world from this model really does help put things in perspective. And if we can understand things using this model, perhaps we can lead to some very positive solutions, and thereby the program will not terminate. But could it be that that is our purpose? Could it be that it's not really about us at all as individuals? Could it really be that it's all about an overall improvement of the self, the one self that is the mainframe or the universe or God or whatever you want to call it? I mean, if there is a God, whether that God be omnipotent or machine, there is no reason to think that even if that God were all-knowing and all-powerful, as many people believe, that it still would not be seeking more from that point, that it would still not be seeking self-improvement or seeking to duplicate itself, because once you got to that point, well, there must be somewhere else to go. You wouldn't want to stop, most especially if you were something with the power of the Creator. You'd want to keep going to see what else there could possibly be. Otherwise, you'd probably get bored. And so perhaps your purpose in constructing any reality would be to run the experiment to see what else reality could become and how you could continue to improve the self. And if such were the case, of course, you would need something such as the human race, in which each individual is possessed with its own consciousness and its own emotion, in order to run the experiment. I mean, as they say, two heads are better than one, and what about 7 billion heads working in unison and cooperation? Imagine what could be accomplished and achieved. And think about it, folks. If humankind was free to express itself, one person has an idea, they put it into motion, someone else comes along and sees it and goes, oh, that's great, what about this? And they add their idea to it. And then someone else adds their idea to it, and we end up with this incredible invention, simply because everybody had been free to express themselves, and we've created this entirely new neural pathway. Perhaps that is our ultimate purpose. And if we can put down judgment, and put down our continually transferring our emotional conditions such as our anger into violence rather than positive action, perhaps we can make a difference. And in order to do this, folks, I think all you really need to do is to step back and to put things in perspective and to ask yourself what motivates you in your actions. When you speak out against this system, when I speak out against the atrocities of Israel in Palestine, what motivates me? Is it hatred for Israel, or is it love for Palestine? Well, actually, it's neither. I don't hate Israel. I don't love Palestine. I don't hate Jews and love Muslims. I detest hardship and violence and atrocities being carried out against any living being. And I love life. That is my sole motivation in speaking out against Israel. It wouldn't matter who the country was and who the atrocities were being perpetrated against. But what is happening there serves as a stark statement of man's inhumanity to man, and it's something that needs to stop, and it serves as a lesson to us all. And it should serve as a lesson to us all, because the attacks on Gaza are not attacks on Palestinians, they are attacks on mankind. The siege of Gaza is a siege upon mankind, and the denial of justice to Palestinians is a warning of a growing threat that exists against humanity. As said by Nelson Mandela, the struggle of Palestine is the greatest moral issue of our time. And that is why I speak out in defense of the Palestinian people. But what motivates me in speaking out against all the issues that I speak out against, and what motivates me in doing these shows and making my films and all that I do, is love. It's because I can see the potential that mankind has, and I think it's very sad, and it's very irresponsible of us to be squandering the gifts that have been given to us. And even more sad than irresponsible, because most of our responsibility has been taken from us. Many of us simply know not what we do, because we have been programmed by this insidious and very controlling and very misleading education system. And again, this has been done by a very few people at the top who wish to maintain control of the sandpit that they've created. And as I've said so often recently, folks, these people at the moment are playing humankind like a fiddle. And just imagine if we were free to express all of our creative potential. Imagine what we could create. Imagine if people were free to have ideas, put these ideas into motion, and other people were free to contribute. If we were acting respectfully to each other, respecting each other's ideas, being enthusiastic about each other's ideas, and seeing all ideas as a step forward, a way of taking things to the next level. Even if the ideas don't work, it doesn't matter. This is how we learn. We make mistakes. That's what we do. That's how things progress. Every mistake you make is not a failure. It's simply a lesson on how not to do something. But think what we could create if we were free to be able to create, rather than simply going out and creating war and death and destruction the way we are. Because all of the death and war and destruction we're creating is all being done at the whim of other people, all being done at the whim of banksters, and all of the wars we are fighting are being fought under false pretenses. And it's time humankind woke up to itself. You know, we really do have some fantastic potential here, folks, and we are at such a crucial time in history. And when you look at all of these situations that we face, there's no real need to go into fear for the predicament of humankind. It's all a matter of perspective. If you can see all of this as an opportunity for change and an opportunity to see how the control system works, then it becomes clear that the steps towards a progressive future are really not that difficult at all if we choose to participate. But I think we've reached break time, folks, so I'll have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I've been quite angry and outspoken on the airwaves for the last year or so. I've really lifted things to the next level as far as speaking out against the oligarchy. I've been quite insulting to the politicians on air when I've been speaking about them. And I haven't done this because I enjoy coming onto the air and ranting and raving and screaming and insulting politicians. I've actually done so in the hope that these politicians actually get to hear what I've said. Because I figure that if I speak the truth straight to the face of these people, perhaps it might knock some sense into the minds of these psychopaths. I mean, I don't know anything else that will. But that's why I've done that. I've actually been speaking directly to the politicians when I've made those statements. So I thank you all for putting up with my tirades that I've had of late. But as I said on the show last week, it's been anger born from frustration, because I don't like seeing people being murdered and killed around me. But to take it to a higher level and to really step back and look at it, and in order to be able to do this without judgment, I think looking at reality as the model of the computer that I've put forth in the first section of the show very much serves to help you remove judgment when you are looking at the global situation, because when you look at it this way, you can see exactly how things are being played out. You can see what the energy battle is all about and how it is taking place. You know, everything about this system, whether it be the economic model, which keeps people in a state of artificial scarcity, causing them to struggle, or whether it be the wars and the mayhem that we see around the planet, it all serves to keep human consciousness in a state where we're generating negative energy. And that's what it's all about. That is the main purpose of every single problem that we see on this planet, is to generate this negative energy flow in human consciousness. This is why the global oligarchy will go to such incredible lengths to damage this planet with absolute wild abandon. I mean, they do not care how much damage they do. They don't care if they pollute the oceans. They don't care if they destroy the atmosphere. They don't care if they have wars and cover the planet in depleted uranium. They don't care about oil spills because everything they do generates negative energy flow in the populace, and that is the data that feeds into the mainframe, and that's what they want because that is what will prevent any shift from taking place. But the shift wants to happen. That's why they are doing this. They're doing it because they are forced to do this, because it is the only way they believe they can maintain control of the sandpit. And sometimes when I come on the air and I just insult these politicians, well, maybe I'll wake them up and maybe I'll help other people see them for exactly what they are as well. Because I tell you, folks, I'm thoroughly convinced that every politician on this planet is either a criminal or an idiot. None of them deserve to be in the position that they're in. And if they're not criminals, like I said, they're idiots. They're idiots simply because they support the economic system. Anybody who supports this economic system just can't see the forest for the trees. Because the economy is fiction, and it's the economic system which is destroying life on the planet and is designed to destroy life on the planet. That can be the only result of supporting this economic model. As I've said so often before, the only possible result can be the removal of this planet's ability to support life. So any politician who can't see this, frankly, is an idiot. And so I can have no real sympathy for these people. But I think we need to step away from all of that anyway. I think we really need to start viewing things from a broader perspective and start seeing how we are all connected as one and what the purpose of this reality is, what the purpose of mankind is, and what we could achieve if we were free to express ourselves, and the opportunities we've been given to do this. I mean, the opportunity that is Palestine, the opportunity that is Gaza. This is why I come back to it so much, folks, because it is the greatest moral dilemma that humankind faces, and it's therefore the greatest opportunity for freedom from repression that humankind has ever been given. And we're being handed it on a silver platter. All we have to do is stand up and pay attention and speak our truth. And if we were to do that, I think the shift we would see would be phenomenal. If people were to simply stop being in fear, stop being afraid to be heard, and find that which motivates them, that which they care enough about to stand up about and speak their truth. For me, it's Palestine. For you, it may be oil spills. For you, it may be whaling. For you, it may be Fukushima. It may be something else. But when you're looking at one of these issues that we face, step back and look at it and understand what the bigger picture is. Don't stand up and speak out against the culling of dolphins because you're angry with the people doing the culling. Stand up and speak about the culling of dolphins because the culling of dolphins and the need to exploit our environment and even kill these creatures to begin with is because everybody on this earth is conditioned to continually support the economic model, which has placed people in a state of artificial scarcity. People are speaking out against the orangutans being lost in Indonesia. It isn't that people are killing the orangutans. It's that people are cutting down the forests in order to support the economic model. So it comes back to the banksters and the private issuance of currency again. It isn't that we're seeing rhinos being almost wiped out to extinction because people like killing rhinos. It's because they chop their horns off and sell them because they're worth vast amounts of money, because people need the money because they are enslaved to the economic model. And the purpose of the economic model is to destroy the earth. All of the issues that we're facing, all of these smaller symptoms that we're facing, will never be fixed until we address them at their root cause. And the root cause is the system itself and the economic slavery that humankind is forced to suffer. The economic slavery is what causes all of the negative energy to be generated. The economic system is what causes the wars to be fought, the vying for resources because it's all valuable, the corners that are cut during construction that cause disasters such as Fukushima to happen, the oil spills, the fracking, the horrible waste that comes from all of these destructive and pollutive industries, all because corners are cut because it's more profitable to do so. The vying for land, the vying for materials and minerals, the want for oil, the want for energy, the want for all of these things that support this economic system. The problem is the economic system itself. And no matter what it is that motivates you, if you can see that as an opportunity to address the problems we face at their root cause and use love as your motivation and the want for a positive and better future as your motivation, not your hatred towards the people who are culling the dolphins and killing the rhinos, because these people are culling the dolphins and killing the rhinos and polluting the oceans and polluting the atmosphere because they are in a state of scarcity and they are running on the treadmill and trying to collect as much money as they possibly can because they think that's what it's about. So the problem isn't these people. It's the training and the education that the people have undergone and their belief that the economy is real. That is the problem. And if we have a lot of people on this earth standing up and speaking their truth and addressing these issues from their root cause, realizing that it is the economic system and it is the politicians' continual support for this economic system that has created this problem, then we can shift things. That's how we do it, folks. But it's not going to happen if people are not prepared to step into their hearts and stand up and speak their truth. That's what is needed now more than ever, and it is crucial at this time in history that people raise the frequency, raise the vibration, put down the fear, and stand up and speak your truth. And that's all I've ever been asking on these shows. And sure, I've gone down a lot of roller coaster rides and a lot of rabbit holes. I've taken you on the journey with me very often. I'm sure many people have got quite annoyed with me. I'm sure many people have felt that I've been fixated on Palestine for too long. But it is such a huge opportunity for change that's why I've done it. I've attempted lots of things, folks. I've attempted lots of issues that I thought may motivate people. Fukushima, coal seam gas, Palestine, lots of things that I thought may snap people into wakefulness, and things that have really moved me and stuff that has stirred my heart, and that's where I have to go. I readily admit that a lot of the words I've uttered in defense of the people of Gaza is because I have friends there. I went and met these people. But hey, I've got friends in Cornwall. I've got friends in Spain. I've got friends all over the world. If Cornwall was being attacked by Ireland, I'd be screaming out against Ireland. And hey, I've got friends in Ireland too, and if Ireland was being attacked by Cornwall, then the situation would be reversed and my voice would be just as loud. It's the same thing. If I've got friends somewhere and they're under threat, I can't help but make my voice heard in their defense, because that's who I am. That's what I do for my friends. And I'm sure that that's what my friends would also do for me. But I speak out against the actions of Israel. I speak out for the people of Palestine because I love life, folks. I often get accused of being a Jew hater these days, but I don't hate Jews. I just love life. I think the people of Israel are programmed and they can't help that being that way. And that's one of the problems that I see with the Palestinian issue as well, that so many people speak out against this issue and they do it out of hatred for the Jews, and they direct their hatred at the Jews because they believe that will fix the problem, but it won't. If you're doing what you do out of love for life and love for humanity, then it makes a difference. But if you're doing what you're doing out of hatred for the perpetrators, rather than being able to step back and see that the perpetrators are programmed, they're either programmed by a religious tome, which is somebody else's idea of reality, or they're programmed by the economic model because they believe they're in a state of scarcity, which is also someone else's version of reality, and so they know not what they do. And hating them will achieve nothing. It does no good to hate anybody, folks. Do what you do out of love, and do what you do out of a want for a better future. A want for humankind, mankind, and consciousness itself to reach its fullest potential. If you do what you do with that intention behind your actions, you'll make a huge difference. But if you're doing what you're doing out of hatred for whoever is carrying out the atrocities, then you're simply not seeing the bigger picture, and all you're doing is contributing to the problem. I laugh at people that call me a Jew hater. It's so ridiculous. I have Jewish people stay at my house quite often. I have many Jewish friends, and many of them speak out just as loudly as I do against the actions of the Israeli government. It's not about hating anybody, folks. It's about love, and it's about wanting a better future. And it's about standing in your heart and making your voice heard and speaking your truth. But as I said, folks, we've got to step back and we've got to start addressing these issues from their root cause, because consciousness wants to shift and we can help that shift happen. And I think it's really coming to a head, folks. The world is turning to chaos and it's being done purely to keep us locked into this negative state. So it's time for us all to raise the frequency. And to be honest, folks, I don't feel that it's really that hard to do. I think that if we can just step back a little bit and re-examine ourselves, re-examine what we are and re-examine what we have here on this planet, we've really been given a golden opportunity here. And if you can think of mankind and the progression of human consciousness, as I said, as a computer, and think of it as all about being able to create new neural pathways, then you see that what life is about really is the fulfillment of human expression and the incredible abilities we've been given to be able to create things. We could create any future we wanted. And I just, the more I think about it, the more I think about what we could create if we were to unite our minds and respect each other's ideas and add to each other's ideas, what we could create would be incredible, folks. The potential that we have as a species, really, when you look at it, it's virtually unlimited. And we seem to have forgotten that. We don't ever realize that we have this potential. We don't ever view humankind as a collective experience. We don't ever see what we could achieve through the unification of all of these minds. And when I say that, I'm not saying we need to be unified as such, like in a mainframe with transhumanism, nothing like that. But if we were unified in respect for each other and unified in a common goal towards the betterment and improvement of the human experience, imagine what we could create. The sky's the limit, folks. And we're constrained by all of these control mechanisms, which are all other people's ideas. You know, even with the stance I've been taking in support of the Palestinian people lately, I've had people accusing me of being a Muslim. I'm not a Muslim. I don't follow any religion. I think all religions are demented. I respect Muslims, but I think that they have no need for their book. I think their book just distracts them from reality, the same as the Christian book, the same as the Jewish book, the same as all these religious tomes. They're all things from the past. They're all other people's ideas. They're all someone else's version of reality. They are not you. They're not your creative thought of expression. They're not your creative experience of this reality. They're someone else's idea of what you are, what this reality is, and what your connection to the Creator should be according to their version of reality. That's all any religious tome is. And if God exists, well, maybe it did come from God, but it was relative to the person who wrote it, not to you. That's their version of their connection to their Creator. It's got nothing to do with you. And what it does when you adhere to these belief systems that have been put there by other people, it severs your connection to reality. It severs your connection to yourself. It causes you to look at the world from someone else's perspective. And you just accept that, and suddenly you've taken their version of reality on as your own. But what about your version of reality? What about the creative expression that you have to offer? What about the experience that you could give to the world? What if that is your purpose? What if your purpose is to come here with a clean, blank slate and to express yourself in the best and most creative way that you can with all the potential that you've been given? To me, that makes a lot more sense than being forced to follow in someone else's footsteps or adhere to someone else's doctrine or to take on as your reality someone else's version of an experience they had in the past. And frankly, folks, when I look back and I see the results that any religion has had over any human consciousness or any state or any country on this earth, I just have to step back and shake my head and ask, do you really believe that this is what God would want? I think all of it is someone else's idea, folks, and I think all of it serves to disconnect us from our real connection to the Creator. I think all of it serves to divide our communities and put us at loggerheads against each other. And I think it all serves to create the negative energy pool that we see on the earth today. I think that all of the doctrines and all of the beliefs that we've accumulated from past experience need to be put down right now. We need to clean the slate, see what we have here, look at the potential we've been given, and move forward from this point and create new neural pathways, create a new way of thinking, a new thought process, a new way of doing things, a new way of approaching these problems, a new way of viewing ourselves, and a new and a real way of viewing each other, and a new and real way of viewing reality and viewing our connection to it. We really are being given every opportunity we could have ever hoped for to do this, ladies and gentlemen. If you look at all of the problems in the world and all of the stuff that people deem as negative, really it's all providing us with a fantastic opportunity to free ourselves from this system and to shift the perspective of mankind, to shift the direction we are going, to alter the way the program is running. The program has a virus, folks. It's called money. And it's called greed. It's called a love and a lust for power. And it's time we address this, because we can see it now. We can see it for what it is. And we can see what the solutions are. And we don't need to hurt anybody. We don't need to have a war. We don't need to have a revolution. We don't need to have any violence of any kind. All we need to do is to shift the frequency, raise the vibration in ourselves, step out of the fear, stand up and speak our truth. Take the moral high ground in all that we do and stand by our moral compass. Just make your voice heard. Step into your heart, folks. Call a spade and do the right thing in all that you can do. That in itself is enough to shift the frequency. You know, if you change your perspective from one of fear to one of love, then you do change the overall vibration on this planet. I mean, get out there and get amongst it, folks. Get to know your neighbors. Start doing things for people. When you see injustice, when you see hardship, reach out and help the people. Offer a helping hand. Do what you can. Take the moral high ground in all that you do, and you'll make a difference. But above all, folks, be a shining light to people, because people need a shining light. They need to know there are other people out there who care as much as they do. And you can do that in your local community right now. And that is the most important thing all of us can do, folks. I truly cannot stress the importance of this enough. It really is that time in history. It's time for the human race to step up to their plate. It's time to raise the frequency. Now, in the hope of achieving this, and in an attempt to help shift human consciousness into something a little bit more positive, I'm going to be launching the Full Circle Project in earnest next year. I've had it sitting there in a dormant state for about a year now. I've had the website up and I've had the forums there for people to be able to sign up to. And I haven't even had time to really go and check the forums myself. I hope to actually make a video and post in there soon. But I am going to be launching this project next year, and it's something that's really going to require audience participation to work. So if you want to be involved in this project, I urge you to go to the Crow House website. Go to my website, thecrowhouse.com, and you'll see a link there to the Full Circle Project. The website is fullcirclenow.net. You can go there and sign up to the forums and start coordinating things in your local community, because what we want to do with the Full Circle Project is travel around to as many places as we can and basically perform workshops and find what motivates that community and use that to light a fire in that community, to light a fire in the minds of the community, to empower that community into positive action in their own local environment. And we don't want to be coming there and just doing presentations and talks and then leaving. We want to be able to come there and do presentations and talks and also hands-on workshops. And if we need to stay around for a few days or a week or whatever to make sure the ball is rolling, then we want to be able to do that. But in order to do that, we need people on the ground in all these communities to have sort of landing areas prepared for us. So we've got somewhere to come, somewhere to be. We've got a venue organized to be able to bring this information to people. We're trying to do it as cheaply as possible for everybody, but we are going to require funding. So if anyone can help with that, we really do need some funding to get this off the ground. But what I urge you to do is to go and sign up to the forums and start coordinating in your local community and getting people on the ground that want to participate in the Full Circle Project. I really can't let too much out at the moment. I really can't disclose what the project's going to involve or entail. I can't really disclose who's going to be involved in it yet because I just really want to keep things under wraps. But there's a lot of big things happening next year. I've had a lot of input from a lot of people from very diverse areas and some people right out of left field that I wouldn't even have ever expected to have been the ones that were listening to the show. So there's been all sorts of things happening and there's all sorts of people that even are operating within the parameters of the mainstream, which actually know what's going on this world and want to start taking positive action, but they're kind of constrained by the social and business mechanisms that they work in, and so they're trying to find some way of bridging this gap. And that's one of the things we hope to achieve with the Full Circle Project, and I really can't let on how this is going to happen, folks. We've got to keep everything tightly under wraps, but there's a lot of positive change appears to be coming for this planet, regardless of how negative the powers that believe they be are attempting to make it. So it's important that those of you out there listening to the shows and those of you out there who are active in this, don't lose heart in what you're seeing around you. Don't lose heart when you see the amount of sleeping drones that still exist in the world. Everything appears to be going in the right direction from my perspective anyway, from some of the input that I've had. And so I hope that serves to inspire all of you a little bit and to help keep your energy levels high because we are heading for good places, folks. I really don't think they're going to succeed this time, folks. I think we've been through this many times in our past, in mankind's history. I think we've gone through many cycles before, and I think that they've all failed to some degree, but I don't think it's going to fail this time. I think there are too many positive things happening on the world, and some of the stuff, like I said, that I've had coming to me lately, some of the downloads I've had have been phenomenal. It's almost like things are being taken to a new level. As far as the energy field goes, everything just seems to be changing. And I've often found this from the most negative of times that I've experienced in my life and the most negative times that I've seen on this earth, very often something very positive arises from that point. And I think that's just the nature of consciousness. It's the nature of the human spirit that we create things. We're diverse. We want to create. We want to express ourselves. And so no matter how negative the powers that believe they be try to make things, we keep shifting the goalposts. I think we've failed many times in the past, but this time we're just not going to fail. I think we're just not going to fail. I really do believe this, folks. I really feel that there are some very, very positive times ahead. If we can just raise the frequency, step out of the fear, speak our truth, and keep focus on the future, keep focus on the future that we would like to have, maintain that as our intention, and I think we'll shift things. And that's what I hope to do next year with the Full Circle Project. So I hope you all want to participate in that. But I think we've reached the end of the show here, folks. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you. I do love coming and doing these shows. I love being able to express my ideas to you. And I thank you so much for giving me the time and the support that you've given me over the years. I have really appreciated it. It's been an amazing experience being able to talk to people the way I have. And it's been really gratifying to hear people take the message on and to make positive changes in their own lives. And I'm starting to see ripples all around the world now. And it's a really, really good feeling to be out here riding the wave with all of you. But that is it for me, folks. I'm going to have to say goodbye now. Thank you for joining me today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. They're really few and far between, folks. I really could do with some help at the moment. I know times are hard for everybody, and they're certainly hard for me as well. But that is it for me, folks. Thank you all very much for participating in the show today. Thank you for listening to my tirades over the last year or so. But the energy has shifted now. We're taking things to the next level, and I think it's a new frontier from this day forth. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.